New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan, and this is going to be a special one. I'm going to spill some beans for y'all about an upcoming thing that I'm hoping to get into. Also, we're going to do a preview of the college football playoff, and even some of the ball games. And I have the host of Knights of the Dad Table. I have Colton Montgomery here, and I don't think he has had his own episode, but I would like to pick the brain of Colton Montgomery here. What's up, dude?
What's up? Thanks for inviting me out today. Yeah, glad to be back on Porch Talk, man.
So glad to have you, man. I don't know if we've ever did a 1v1.
I don't think we have, but I've been kind of wanting to for a while, so glad we get to do it today.
Yeah, man. Yeah. What's been good for you so far? Let's just and maybe to a football realm. I think this time of the year is my favorite. I'm sure it's probably yours.
Yeah.
At the beginning of this college football season, I don't think anybody knew what they were getting.
We didn't know. No one knew what they were signing up for. It was it's a season unlike any that I can remember. Maybe a lot of comparisons to 2007.
Yeah, they go back to Saban's first year, don't they?
Right, because of you go through that whole season, there wasn't one really standout elite team. Mm-hmm. You know, there was upsets every week, but you throw in all the changes of college football since then, and this season you got to really keep up. You got to keep refreshing that Twitter feed, because it's every hour there's something new, someone new in the transfer portal, coaching move, But you add that on top of the craziness that's been college football in 2024, and it's been really fun. It's been a lot to keep up with, but and, a lot going on.
And it's just like any other news media now, and it may be the rise of social media and also the rise of podcasts. And, I mean, you brought up Twitter with Elon Musk. X now is one thing that he says is you are the media now.
Yep.
And I totally believe that, but with that same power is people don't even consider the responsibility because they'll take a screenshot of a player.
Yep.
And they will say things like, Devontae Smith, the defensive linebacker, or the defensive back of Alabama has hit the transfer portal.
Yep.
It's like, do we remember? Could there be more than one Devontae Smith? But we know a particular Devontae Smith, and he's gone. Now, I know the Devontae Smith they're talking about, but yep. At the same time, like, there are so many troll accounts on social media now just spreading news, like when it came to NIL.
Yeah.
They brought up our Heisman Trophy winner. He was number two. Number one was Deion Sanders' son. And then number three, I think, went to Arch Manning. And but that whole list was bullcrap because – nobody even mentioned Oregon, and Oregon has the founder of Nike, and he loves Oregon football. And so you can't even go off of, like, these cheat sheets or whatever, wherever these people are pulling their information from. I think they're just pulling it up out of thin air.
I mean, look, at the Mississippi High School football, I think it was at the All-Star game. I think it was the Mississippi-Alabama All-Star game. But it was the commentators were just talking about trying to fill some dead air, just talking about some college football news. And, you know, I think Quinn Ewers is in the transfer portal now.
He is.
So
many people say that he is already signed with a Big 12 or Big 10 team, I'm sorry.
And if I had to put my money on it, I'd say that's going to be Oregon because that seems to be kind of their path, their last two quarterbacks. Let's get a guy that's been developed in another program for 3-4 years. They developed him, and we're going to bring him in, pay him a bunch of money like they did with Bo Nix, like they did with Dylan Gabriel. I don't see why they wouldn't use that same formula and go out and get – Quinn Ewers, considering the Oregon, like you said, they got the owner of Nike, Oregon alumni. He said, "Whatever it takes, we'll pay whatever it takes to get to build this team."
He wants a national championship, and I think a lot of people, and maybe they're not surprised, but when you think college football, and when it comes to money, I think Oregon and Texas would probably battle for number two, just depending on the owner of Nike.
Yep,
because Austin, Texas, oil money, a lot of tycoons, and think about it, just all the famous people who are in technology or energy that have studied and gone to the University of Texas, and now
just the sheer amount of number of billionaires in that state, you know, and that goes for any program in Texas, really. But you know, obviously the Texas Longhorns have as much money as anybody. A&M, SMU. Is another program that you saw exceed expectations this year. That they went to a tougher conference, even though it didn't make geographical sense. But and they went to the ACC, and heck, they went to the ACC championship game, and just about took the Clemson Tigers to overtime. You know, and so that's a program that's a sleeping giant because of how much money that they have. Some wealthy alumni there. So.
And they go back to the 80s. SMU did have a national championship then. One thing that I'm thinking about, and you brought it up, and I'm glad that you did, even with Oregon being in the Big Ten now, could you imagine not take football out of it? You play baseball, volleyball. You're a gymnast. Any of these other sports, and now that your college is on the West Coast in Eugene, Oregon, but everyone that you compete and are competitive with are in the Midwest.
Yep.
Planes, trains, automobiles. Like, how are they paying for this? It doesn't logistically make sense.
It doesn't.
Is it going to be addressed?
It's like right now, a head college football coach, you know, compared to the past, you know, they a big part of their job was actually the X's and O's of football. But now a big chunk of your time as a head coach is being taken raising money and doing all this other extracurricular stuff for the program, that to where, you know, you have to have a great staff around you to worry about the actual football game plan on the field. What are we going to do on Saturday? But then you've still got to raise all this money, and you got to figure out who's my quarterback going to be next year, because now you open up the NIL, you know, that whole portal. It's you know, you've got to basically decide who your quarterback is going to be before you even wrapped up your season. Now you've got to pretty much decide who's that money going to be allocated to next year because of the fluidity of the transfer portal. So it's not like you have that open battle in the spring and you just decide your quarterback. We've got $2 million tied to this player next year, he better be the starting quarterback, you know.
Absolutely.
So
leads me to my next point. North Carolina just picked up Bill Belichick.
Wow.
For many of you that you know him from the New England Patriots,
about that, you know.
North Carolina seems to have a knack for picking up head coaches when they are well beyond their years,
well beyond their prime. You know, they brought in Mac Brown
from Texas.
Was kind of a nostalgic hire for them. You know, I mean, he had success there a long time ago, but Bill Belichick, it's definitely, you tell somebody 5 years ago that, you know, Bill Belichick is going to be the head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels, and then that, heck, his girlfriend's probably going to be attending North Carolina at the same time.
Which is a strange thing to say, but it's funny, but it's true, maybe. Yeah. She's maybe that young. But what does that do? Like, and I think our anomaly in college football, and I believe this is the reason why Nick Saban got out of the game, is you take somebody like Deion Sanders, who is doing marvelous things at Jackson State in Jackson, Mississippi, gets an opportunity to go to Colorado,
mm-hmm.
And you see Shadar Hunter and his son with everything that they're producing out there in Colorado. Maybe that is the move. Although Bill Belichick is you know, he's in what I would consider retiring years, twilight years, should be just enjoying his life. He's getting back into the hustle bustle. I mean, what kind of promises does he bring to the table other than the fact that, yes, I do in fact have 5 Super Bowl rings.
6?
I always get that a little mixed up because
yeah, 6.
Him and Brady had the same amount until Brady went to Tampa and got it.
Yeah, Brady's got 7.
7. Yeah. So it's 6 and 7. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, so they gave him a 3-year, $30 million deal, which that is, you know, to pay a coach $10 million a year, that says we're trying to be truly competitive in football if we're willing to pay the coach that much money. Obviously, 6 Super Bowls, but never been a head coach at the college level. But what this was a, you know, it started off, I think he wanted leverage. He wanted to get back into coaching the NFL. And
but he turned the Atlanta Falcons down, supposedly.
Well, you know, and I think he was waiting on the right job then. I think, you know, at that time, I don't know what logistically didn't work out, but he got into, you know, doing the TV thing, which ended up being kind of fun, you know.
I like seeing that side of, like, Bill Belichick and Nick Saban, mm-hmm. because you only know them from the sideline to where they're kind of a hard ass.
Yeah. It's worked
and
out
great. And you kind of see the funny side of them.
Yeah, and it worked out great for Belichick, too. I mean, it was like, whoa, you've never think of Bill Belichick like this, someone who can laugh, talk, and cut up, because, I mean, you only see the hard ass side, you know, when they're mm-hmm. coaching football. But I think this deal comes with a guarantee, basically, that Belichick's son will be the head coach in waiting. So they're taking a gamble on this. I don't suspect he'll be there any longer than 3 seasons, if even that long. His apparently his buyout goes down significantly after June the 1st of 2025.
Okay.
So I imagine he maybe will coach a season or two, get the program into, you know, what his He basically had a 400-page man, like a manifesto almost. It was like this 400-page plan that he had of this is how I would run a college football program, and it created a kind of a divide at North Carolina because you had these different parties that thought it was a great idea, and you know, others like, well, I don't, you know, $10 million, that's, you know what I'm saying. But I think the plan will be he'll get the program, you know, kind of how he likes it, and then he'll leave it to his son, and he'll take the reins. And
a lot of people that really didn't understand or think that his son is good at that coaching thing, right?
This is a big gamble for North Carolina all around. It really is. It's one of those things that really feels like it's either going to be a swing and a miss or a grand slam. You know, one way. It's I don't feel like it. Hard to believe this could go anywhere in the middle, but
we're gonna pick this up and carry on with it later. I want to change subjects just to keep it fresh for our listeners here. Maybe they don't like the football talk.
Maybe not.
I would like to turn it over to, and this will set up what I want to bring up next is a little focus on you.
Okay.
And Knights of the Dad Table, Spotify only podcast, and by the way, it's our youngest guys in town that are running a successful podcast, and shout out to them. This was a big year for y'all, biggest year y'all have had, a lot of growth.
Yeah, been doing it about over a year and a half now. We started in April of 2023, started podcasting, and you know, we're constantly trying to grow and everything. We have conversations with people that we find interesting, and it's a kind of it meshes a lot of different ideas of a lot of different podcast formats, but we have multiple hosts, and we'll talk to different people, and you know, a lot of musicians, but we also try to keep a running guest of who's a running list of who are some people we want to talk to outside of the music world too, so that we just kind of keep the variety there. But the plan is in 2025, we've talked to some people to kind of expand the geographic territory a little bit, start talking to some more people from the state of Alabama, a little bit of the West Alabama area.
Absolutely.
A couple of them played at Munson Friday night, and couple of good singers and songwriters that we're going to get to talk to, and so yeah, it's we're excited about it.
We're and like I say, I know that we have done Knights of the Dad Table on Porch Talk, but I for the life of me, I don't recall if I've ever kind of picked your brain about it. What made you want to start it?
We kind of just felt like it would be something that would be practical enough to where we could just have a platform to share our thoughts, and whoever cared enough to listen would have the chance to do that. It started with us just shooting the shit, and you know, the same thing that goes into a lot of people starting a podcast: hey bro, we need to start a podcast. And you know, ended up just being, why not? You know, some people listen to us, you know, some don't, and some will in the future. It was just like, if people care what we have to say, let's put it out there, and you know, as long as it's nothing that'll, you know, that we'll lose our jobs over, then let's go for it. So
absolutely,
that's about all it was. It, you know, we just, I'm one of those people that I hate hearing, hey, we should do this for so long, like let's just do it. You know, whether it be doing a podcast, or hey, we need to go to this concert, we need to go see this band or whatever. Like, you know, you're gonna die one day. You know, you only get one swing at this thing. So,
I'm telling you, I've been that way for a while now. I don't like talking about doing things. I like doing them.
Yep.
And I'm very quick to it. Maybe it might be the day before. It may be the day of, and I might give you a call. Hey, Colton, there's a show that we got to go see. It's over in Birmingham. You're going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I'm very much that way. And, you know, I know Cameron and Austin and Jake. Like, when you were coming up with who was going to be the regulars, the co-hosts for the show. Like, how did you develop that?
It kind of changed from what we originally planned it to be, but it really was just a group of us who have all been good buddies for several years now, and that just ended up kind of developing into the core group of co-hosts that we have. And you know, when we talk to other people, they have questions that I don't have, and vice versa, and they have opinions to add to what they're saying that I don't have, and vice versa. And so it just kind of flows. It works well together. We work well together. So we really just started, like, you know, kind of we would just have these discussions sometimes hanging out, and, you know, and it could be deeper stuff sometimes. And so we're like, let's start putting this out into the world and
see what happens.
Yeah. So that's about all.
I'll say this. It's not to the dad table, and for listeners, maybe you're somebody that will be invited one day to be on the table. I'll say that it's a lot different than Porch Talk, because if I have a guest, like if I invite someone to come be on the show, typically they're only going to be facing me. One thing very interesting about Nights at the Dad Table is oftentimes it's going to be you versus three other guys.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that, because like you said, it's like three different perspectives, and, you know, Cam or Jake may be able to get to a place to where you couldn't go.
Yeah.
But maybe it's a little intimidating, but, you know, when I came on, I know all you guys. It wasn't that way for me at all, but like over, you know what, we're at, you just celebrated 50 episodes?
We're at 49 now. We're recording 50 soon. Oh, so we're trying to put something, you know, something kind of big together for that. So,
but, I mean, have you ever had feedback from the guests where it was like, it was a bit kind of intimidating?
We haven't. Our guests, I definitely think it kind of starts off that way, you know, maybe like, oh, you know, this is, I didn't know I was going to be talking to three or four different people, but then, once we sit down and get broken in and everything, and very chill and laid back, within 10, 15 minutes, you know, everything starts to loosen up a little bit. And then by the time it's over, pretty much everyone has said, wow, that was a lot more fun than I thought it would be. Or I had a great time. And it was kind of like maybe they're a little bit surprised, because they were maybe intimidated, but then they get through it, and it's like, whoa, we need to do this again, you know.
And I think with you and your passions, and with Jake and Cameron, both musicians, is with what y'all are doing on the music side of things, it's a huge aid, and it's why I like having you on, and hopefully like more on a consistent basis, and keep working with y'all is. As music changes in the culture, and so much good music is not even on Spotify, it's not on Apple Music, it's not even on YouTube, it's on SoundCloud or Bandcamp,
yeah,
and nobody has ever heard of it. And these musicians, they're so guarded, and they are so protective of their work that they really don't. Excuse me. They don't really want to put it out on Spotify or maybe some of these other streamers, because they don't like how said streamers treat musicians.
Yeah.
They don't think they pay them fair.
Right.
They don't think the way everything is done is fair. And they are perfectly right to have their opinion. But I'll tell you, if that is the watering hole, then I think I would be in it. It's in, and at that point, it's not about a nickel or a dime or a dollar. It's just exposure. And so one thing, like with the vein that Knights of the Dad Table is doing, much like Porch Talk, is it is lending itself to a musician or a band, to maybe get exposure to a brand new audience that may or may not have ever heard of them, and vice versa, maybe a fan of their music is introduced to you. And I think that does nothing but aid and help the cause of what, like, me and so many other people in this town are trying to do.
Right. Yeah. I'm with you 100%. The music, that's a, of course, has been a huge theme on our podcast. But ideas I've been having too is, you know, I'm the music side of it, yes, but I'm, you know, a big believer in small business, supporting people who create things locally. And, you know, I'm located to our podcast is we're up in Caledonia. So there's even a few creators and business owners there who I really want to talk to.
Bully's Lodge.
Yes, him and a few others that
James White
have got some great stuff going on. And they've, you know, they need some exposure too. And so just all about that, like that whole mindset of let's bring light to what's going on around us. So.
Yeah, and I think it lends itself, man. You know, at first when I was starting Porch Talk, it was just me and my buddies, and we were literally on my back porch, and, like, we had no idea what we were doing, and I couldn't tell you how many episodes that we recorded that I'd never put out because it was never hitting the grade of what I was looking to do.
Yeah.
And then one day I had made the announcement in, like, late July, and it was creeping up on, like, whenever the date of the very first Porch Talk episode was, which I would assume to be probably mid or late August. I had been sitting on this idea for almost a month and attempting to do it, but I could not for the life of me, like, create what I was looking for.
Yep.
And it came down to, like, I had just called a old roommate of mine while we were in college down in Mobile, and I was like, I'm about to call you, and I'm about to hit the little red button, and we're about to have a conversation, and that is going to be the podcast. And, like, during those days, those early days, and, like, it has changed and morphed over time. I opened up the show with a reading from Shakespeare, To Be or Not to Be, and that was my dire call to myself and to the project Porch Talk, or even my music, or anything that I'm doing is to be or not to be, because it's when we opened up talking about Knights of the Dead Table was I'm a bit more of a doer.
Mm-hmm.
I like to do things. I don't like to talk about doing things. And so what is the best way for us to do things?
Yep.
And, that was my call, and then it lended itself to business owners, venue owners, musicians, people I find interesting. And, man, I'm happy for y'all. And, like, I was happy to see, like, shared a little bit about the Spotify Wrapped. And, man, I was happy to see, like, the numbers and all the leaps and bounds that y'all had over the year.
Yeah, it's a good platform. And one idea I share on there is I understand that some of the gripes that people have with it and maybe have with, like you said, artists maybe don't feel like it's a fair, you know, a fair deal all the time. But I think everybody needs to have that app on their phone, whether they're paying for it or not.
Sure.
I think everybody needs to have it because the –
like it or not, that's how we communicate information.
Yeah, the accessibility to hear the music, the podcast in one spot is very valuable. And just the fact, I think people get intimidated. It's important to remember you don't have to pay for anything to listen to a podcast on there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are, you can listen to those all you want. They may throw some ads in there that you'll have to sit through. But, you know, you can play podcasts on there as you want to. Unlike the music where you...
If we set up a space for Knights of the Dad Table at Porch Fest, and we were able to get, you know, the musicians, maybe the comedians passing through, like, how much time would you want to spend with them? Like, would a 10-15 minute interview be cool? Would you want 30 minutes? Would you want an hour? Like, I would like when we are launching in the Porch Fest in April of 2025, the way that I would like to have Knights of the Dad Table represented is their podcast and all the guys they want to talk to.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's in our little alleyway in Munson's, like, is that something possible? Is that something that you might be interested in doing?
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be a great idea, because you've got, I mean, of course you have the musicians too, but then the comedy aspect has really came alive this past Porch Fest. And I know you can end up to a whole new level this year.
Some of them are moving to Austin, Texas.
They're
following Shane Gillis.
There seems to be a migration. You know, I think Rogan really started a big trend with
that's real.
You know, and he talks about it a lot on his show. There's a migration. They're coming out of L.A. and out of the Northeast, you know.
And I know I sound like a fool, but, like, that's why I'm happy that Knights of the Dead Table exists. That's why I'm happy that all these other podcasts and events take place here in Columbus. I'm glad that we are putting these events together. I'm glad that we are doing things, because I would like to create a place that people would like to move to also.
Yep.
You know?
Well, why do we, you know?
And you know, like, we're a geographical oddity, right?
Yeah.
We're 3 hours from everywhere.
3 hours from everywhere. You're within a 90-mile radius of Birmingham, Tuscaloosa, Tupelo, Starkville, even Meridian.
And you can get to the coast in 4 or 5 hours. You can get to Nashville in 4 or 5 hours.
You can get to Memphis in 3, mm-hmm. you know? So it's a great hub, and that's the thing when you talk about building something here. You're not just talking about the people here. You're talking about the people that travel from all over the region.
That's right.
Because of how accessible you are to all these different markets. Mm-hmm. It's a big thing.
And like one thing, and I know like you do some sport broadcasting, and I could only imagine what that means to you. I guess you went to Caledonia.
I did. Yeah.
And now you do a little broadcasting with them.
Yes.
And that's got to be cool. But, I mean, that is just another way of you, like, if that were me in your shoes, and you can share this with me, but if I had that opportunity, like, I would be so honored. And I would put my best foot forward every Friday night or whatever that meant, just because I get to represent.
Yep.
And that's how I treat Porch Talk. That's how I treat Porch Fest. Is I won't, even if they don't listen, or even if they don't come to Porch Fest, I hope they're at least proud of what I'm doing. That mm-hmm. I'm trying to bring change. I'm trying to draw people in by the masses, and we want people to know what we got.
Yep. Yeah, you don't do it for nothing. I mean, there's a purpose behind it, and you brought that up, the broadcasting stuff. It you know, I got the chance to do it as a duo with someone else, and then they pursued some other stuff, got into officiating, which is huge, because that's a huge problem right now is lack of officials. But yeah, do it.
Is that real?
Lack of officials?
I can only imagine why, because they always get death threats, you think?
Well, there's that, and I think a bigger issue is more so a lot of people are getting out of it, and COVID really knocked a lot of people out of it that just said, all right, I'm done, and they're now trying to pay them more, trying to bring them back into the fold so they can.
I know a guy, and I met him over in Amory, and he's a Mississippi guy, but it was a very heinous call, and it could have costed the SEC a lot. And I'm not going to talk about the game or the call that was made, but I'll show you the video after.
Okay.
That was the first thing that he showed me. Because my buddy Kim Coleman, he 1817 Brewing.
Yes, sir.
He also does the Miami Cigars in Amory. You can support him there if you're in the Cigars, but I was there hanging out, and I was having Kim Coleman on the show. I wanted to interview him about 1817 and about cigars and all that. And here comes this official.
Okay.
A referee.
Yeah.
For the SEC of all conferences. My favorite conference.
Of course.
And I recognize the guy.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to say it because he made a very controversial call that costed my Alabama.
Wow. You see it. Well,
and we bring up because, like, Kim, you know, he doesn't tell me who the guy is. And me and the guy are talking. I'm not going to say his name. I don't want him blasted. I don't want y'all hating him. He doesn't deserve hate. Because after I heard his side of the story, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see everything. I have been a baseball umpire / on the field. Yeah. I have missed an outer safe a time or two, okay?
Of course, yeah.
And love me or hate me, okay?
Yeah.
But he pulls up the video after I had asked him. I was like, if you're on social media, you can follow Porch Talk. He's like, I don't do that social media. And my daughter is in college right now. And, like, God forbid anybody ever find out that she's my daughter because she won't have a good time.
Wow.
It was that heinous of a call. And everybody knows the call. It happened. It happened about 7-8 years ago.
Yeah.
In the SEC championship.
Mm.
Pulled the tapes.
Yeah, well.
Won't that leave you reeling? I gotta know who he is.
It's a real problem. It is a problem.
But I can see that in the official world, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's that. People aren't getting into it. The pay isn't what it should be. You know, at the college level, I mean, the fact that they're not treated like full-time employees, I think, is a problem, you know, because they're...
Are they responsible for their own travel?
That wouldn't surprise me. It really wouldn't surprise me. It's a billion-dollar, you know, business. They call it the college athletics is now, but it's still the nickel and dime officiating. And, you know, it's an issue that, yeah, it trickles down to every level. But, yeah, it that's what I was saying, though, was that's how we got into it. And I was... chance to do the broadcasting and stuff, and I've just been doing it solo since then. But it's been a lot of fun. But games moved to Thursdays because, and that's been an issue for several years because the officials, there are not enough officials for all the games to be on every Friday. You got to split them up, so those officials are going, driving. All these officials, a lot of them are working full-time jobs as it is. They're getting off, they're going and officiating a game Thursday night and then doing the same thing Friday night because there's not enough of them to during certain weeks when the schedule falls the right way, there's not enough officials to officiate all the games.
Has the state not tried to remedy that with pay or anything of that nature?
I think their approach has been kind of to bring some of, like I said, some of the retired guys, bring them back into it with an increased pay, I think has been something. And I think it's... you know, helped a little bit, but...
And I'll tell you, Colton, all the umpires and referees I know, when that game is over, it seems like a fight for their life when they're trying to get back to the car.
Yeah.
Like they try to get in and get out.
They don't waste any time. There's not any talking. It's game's over. We got a path to the truck. Let's go.
Yeah, that's what they're looking for.
Yeah, a lot of them do.
They'll be nuts.
They'll ride together, you know. And I went to a game. This would be 5 years ago now, all right? And it was a rivalry matchup.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Fred runs his own landscaping business.
Yeah, with my two brothers.
They take their business very seriously.
Sure do.
Fred traded up to commercial auto insurance from GEICO for serious customized coverage that grows as his business does, all for seriously low rates.
All right, so when's it going to happen? You know, the big GEICO surprise?
I'm sorry?
Some hair metal band. Are they going to jump out of those bushes?
No, this is a serious GEICO ad.
That pyro was pretty cool, though.
Get more with GEICO commercial insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
And basically what it was they were playing in the state semifinal. So Nanawaya and Noxipater,
mm-hmm.
Big rivalry, 1A. Well, it's a big rivalry on its own, but imagine that game with a chance to go to the state championship online. So we had already been knocked out of the playoffs, so I decided I'm going to go to this game. You know, I don't know anybody really over there. I'm just over here to see a good matchup, and I just heard, well, that sounds like fun. Two rivals playing in state semifinal. I go and sit on – it was at Nanawaya, and I sat on their side in the first half. It was, like, tied at halftime. They had a barricade between the two sides guarded
by
the police.
That.
Yeah, and so the
I love that.
Two wouldn't cross – you know, cross over. Well, we caught a break for a second when the security guard went off and moved away or something.
The other side?
I jumped the gate, and I said, oh, we're going to sit on this side of this half. And so there was several controversial calls late. I had never seen a group of people be so relentlessly ugly to the officials.
Mm.
I'm talking about everything you can think of, every word. Your mother is this, and this, all kind of stuff. And it was funny. They had a line of cops in between the officials and all the people that were doing this. And they were the cops were just kind of just watching them. They're just making sure no one's going to hop the fence and do anything crazy.
Right.
They're yelling these obscenities over the cops towards the officials. You know, the cops are, you know, and it was bad. And it was – I'm talking about as soon as that game was over, you're talking about beeline straight to the truck with – cop escorted by the cops. It was a spectacle. It really was. It was kind of awesome at the same time, you know.
I bet it was. I remember that. Like, you think 1A, whether it be Alabama or Mississippi, I think it has the exact same appeal. Is when it comes to that common denominator that brings everybody together, it's like, man, I was in Santiago, Chile. I've been to like different countries all over the world, and you go to a big city, it's not uncommon to see an Alabama flag flying in that bar.
No,
like these are, and they may have gone there, or they just may be a fan of the game. And so, like, that's not a good example for me. It's like a lot of people say when it comes to college football that Alabama or Notre Dame is America's team.
Yeah,
you know,
well, it's a
But like when you go to that 1A, and even like, and you or I probably really couldn't even connect with this, like that Friday Night Light idea when it comes to Texas football. But when it comes to a 1A game in Alabama or Mississippi, those people who support those 1As,
oh man,
that is their thing.
Because look, and you talking about, there probably was every single person in that whole part of Winston County was at that game, you know, like both communities. I mean, it was, you know, it had to be everybody from Noxipater and Nanawaya was at this game, and everybody, you know, everybody knew each other. So we kind of got strange looks the whole time because we weren't from there, you know. But
why are you here?
Yeah. But it was great. It was great to be a part of. But like it was ruthless. It was. You could tell that these are two schools that, like, really don't like each other.
I found it weird, the older I got, that if I didn't have a stake in the game, if I didn't have, like, kinfolk or something of that effect in the game, it feels weird being someone late 20s, early 30s, going to a high school football game. You ever feel that way? I mean, you've got a little more skin in the game than I do.
Yeah.
You're not just a random spectator.
Yes, I do have a sibling that is on, you know, plays, and a sibling that cheers, and a sibling that's in the band. So they're all doing a little something. But there was a period, like, because he's a freshman now. So I guess at first, I knew he was coming up, and was, you know, he was still in the Pee Wee, and so it you know, but it did feel a little strange sometimes. Like, I mean, this does feel a little weird, but at the same time, I was like, I, you know, I feel like I'm at least doing some kind of service here, you know, being kind of involved in the broadcast portion of it. So it was.
And at the same time, it's like if there were more local colleges that were more affordable.
Yeah.
I would definitely be at those games. And you can definitely go to a Mississippi State game. Mm-hmm. It's inexpensive. I dare you to try to walk into Bryant-Denny. And that may change.
Yeah.
With Kalen DeBoer and what I think is going to be very nauseating to quote-unquote Alabama fans is what I have to leave with everybody at the end of this season. We're going to go play Michigan and Tampa. I'm a Roll Tide guy. Alabama probably will not win that game. I wouldn't be surprised if they lost by 10 because Alabama doesn't care unless they're playing for a national title. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. When you've seen the inconsistency with this team this year, no, it wouldn't surprise me at all if we went out there and laid an egg.
And I kind of like they weren't in the playoffs. You telling me you want to go up to Nashville and get a goose from Vandy and you want to black your eye? In Oklahoma,
no, it's not a playoff team. But when they throw, when they throw 12 teams in this thing now, there's always that going to be that bubble. You can expand it to 16, which I'm sure they eventually are going to do. It's only going to get bigger. The playoff won't get smaller, so there'll always be that team on the bubble. But this shouldn't have been and even saying this as an Alabama fan, the controversy of this year shouldn't have been as bad as it was last year when you had the Florida State undefeated team on the bubble. They had a legitimate argument like, wait a minute, we went undefeated and won a conference championship.
And then us go to the Rose Bowl and lose to Michigan. Could they have played Michigan better than us, right?
You know, and I think without their starting quarterback since he had got hurt, I don't think they would have.
Neither do I. You know,
But they did have a legitimate gripe. We don't have a legitimate gripe this year.
No, we did not.
We don't have a legitimate gripe.
And we should take our players that hasn't left the transfer portal, go down to Tampa, and get our eyes beat out by Michigan with pride, just like we did last year. Thank you.
Yeah. And you talk about like seeing, you know, go anywhere, you see Alabama flags. I've seen it in our area. I started noticing around this time last year when we were getting ready to play Michigan in the Rose Bowl. I've seen an increase in Michigan apparel locally. And people wearing
really?
Michigan. Yeah.
You think it's Air Force? You'd be in Caledonia. That's the Air Force community now.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be. I don't know. I just started noticing it. A lot more people wearing Michigan hats, Michigan sweatshirts.
I was at Buffalo Wild Wings before I came here, and I saw three guys wearing Michigan apparel.
I'm telling you, it's
it might have been those guys.
It could have been, but it just in different places. I feel like it's different people every time, but I don't know.
What a session, you know. You win with Harbaugh, and he goes back to the NFL, and like you have kind of a struggle session season, but you beat your rival Ohio State at the end. You didn't ruin their chances enough. Okay, they're still in.
Ohio State losing to Michigan this year, it's borderline. It's inexcusable for Ohio State. I mean, that's four straight years that you have lost to your rival, and in a year where you have a $20 million roster, and Michigan lost all these guys in the NFL mm-hmm. last year. They still had some talented players on defense, but you know, the offense has been mediocre at best all year. It was mediocre at best against Ohio State, but you know, Ryan Day and the offensive staff just didn't have. I think it came down to game plan, the way they approached that game. Michigan still turned it exactly into the game that they wanted it to be. The slugfest, the mm-hmm. you know, the low scoring ball control type of game that you know, when they play against Ohio State, it's just so effective.
And I know that you've talked about it with your guys and ad nauseum on Nights at the Dad Table, but I just wanted to get a little bit of the overall thought of this year's college football with you specifically. And my question is, are we ever going to get this right? Is
Is a 12-team playoff ever going to be enough, Colton? And will we finally figure out how to deal with this transfer portal? And is there a better way to regulate NIL deals? Because it's going to get to a point to where you're with NIL money, like we said earlier, there's about 20 schools in the nation that's got the money.
Yeah, there's a group. There's a group of contenders who have got the money, and some of them have. Some of them are teams that are down right now that may have barely made it to a bowl game this year, finished somewhere between 6 and 9 wins. But those are teams that have the money, and it's the argument I've heard for, you know, all the changes that have been made, specifically the 12-team playoff, is more people are competitive. You know, more schools are competitive now. There's more parity. But
I disagree.
What about the in the past, you know, like, think about some of the clashes of titans that you used to see in national championship games. You used to see great teams filled with future NFL players.
USC versus Texas, 2007. Reggie Bush.
Five.
Vince Young. It was 2005.
One of the greatest games ever. Maybe the greatest football game, college football game ever. A lot of people.
I would think so.
A lot of people think so. Alabama and Georgia, those Alabama versus Clemson games with the, you know, with Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence and those players, those teams, the clashes like that. Are you going to see that again? Are you going to see even a game like last year, like a Michigan versus Washington? I mean,
you're seeing a repeat of the Rose Bowl last year in Tampa with Alabama and Michigan, with two pissed off teams who probably have half their roster shook by the transfer portal.
Yeah.
That's not fair to anybody.
And of course, I'm not counting players that aren't transferring but that are going to go to the NFL and that may sit out. We normally don't have a huge problem with that, but time will tell. But just the point being that you're going away from those clashes of titans where these teams can stock up all this talent. Now, when the talent is spread out, yes, it makes for more contenders, but I want to see, you know, think about Alabama LSU 2011. You know, I mean those kind of
Alabama LSU. Yes, absolutely.
You know,
I quit caring about the Iron Bowl. It was more about the Saban Bowl. It was more about Alabama versus LSU.
Yeah,
and then Kirby Smart leaves us. It was all about the Kirby Smart and Nick Saban Bowl with Alabama v. Georgia.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now we have a brand new coach. He goes 9-3,
mm-hmm.
and everybody wants his head. Are you kidding me? Get over yourselves.
Yeah,
welcome to Alabama being regular.
Regular, another really good program that has national championship potential, but is not going to be. You're not going to see what you saw with Saban anywhere ever again.
No.
You'll never see that replicated at any program.
Those days are dead.
You're not getting that anymore.
But, yeah, so with the 12-team playoff, a lot of people were amazed that Gentee from Boise State, when they compared his numbers to the 2005 Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
And then when you look at Hunter, although he plays both sides of the ball, kind of a mid-season for defensive back or wide receiver.
Yeah. That happened last night. The Heisman was given to Travis Hunter. Yeah, Gentee was my pick. He was the people's pick, and I was very surprised when I seen the final voting that such a large number of Heisman voters voted the way they did with Travis Hunter at first place and Gentee at second place. It was like a difference in 100 to 200 votes, maybe more. But it was 500-something, 300-something.
Mm-hmm.
He a great player, and what he's doing is absolutely historic in its own right. But
Boise State.
Boise State.
This games played.
Have you played anybody? Have you seen a defense?
Well, but I still think the numbers are good enough to hold down. You know, he had a great game against Oregon, too, when they played. You know, they took Oregon to overtime. That was early in the season. Oregon hadn't peaked quite yet, but still, you when it's all said and done, you took the number one team in the country to overtime.
And how about that? Just go back to Alabama for a reason. Alabama peaked in Death Valley at LSU and then turn around and loses to Oklahoma.
Yeah, a total roller coaster. You know, started off strong up until basically halftime of the Georgia game. Even though you still won that game, so you're still peaking, but then boom, crash, Vanderbilt. Crash at you struggle at South Carolina. You
at home, mind you. And South Carolina's not a bad team.
Lose to Tennessee. And then, boom, you back up again. You dominate Missouri. You peak against LSU. And then, boom, crash again, Oklahoma. And
win your Iron Bowl completely. But, yeah. For Alabama fans out there, if you're listening, this is a new regular, okay? I would anticipate Kalen DeBoer. With the new season and onward, as long as he decides to be there or else get fired, Alabama will always be in the playoff contention. Probably getting into the playoffs, always in contention for an SEC championship. I do not like that we don't have an East or West anymore.
And it's not going to change now because now the Greg Sankey – he's upset that
shout out Kirby Smart for putting him on blast.
And he's upset that he had these three teams in the bubble, Alabama, Ole Miss, South Carolina. He thought they should have got in based on the strength of their wins, even with three losses. But I think the committee did the right thing. But it's you won't see more conference games. If anything, you're going to see less. And this because they're like, why play so many conference games if we're going to beat up on each other? It won't be any more. I don't think they're going to, even though they need to, it needs to be the East and the West, and you need to have a clear division winner. But you talk about the playoff structure, this and that. I used to have an idea of how they could have created a better system for it, and it involved eight teams, but that won't happen now. I thought they should have tried eight before they went straight to 12.
I would have loved to entertain that.
You know.
I would have still loved to be at the BCS. That way bowl games mean something.
Well, yeah. When I had an idea, you know, you could give all the conference champions a seat at the table, but now that's with the conference realignment, you know, you have two conferences that are elite, and then you have a big, big drop-off there between number two and number three. In the conference rankings, you know, one or two, Big Ten, SEC, you know, obviously. And then you have the ACC and the Big 12 down there. They're a big drop-off. So it's not like every conference champion is not equal at all because the strength of competition isn't. The Pac-12 doesn't exist anymore, or it does, but it, you know, it won't be considered to be a power conference.
If you had to project your biggest upset, for the college football playoff, what would it be? Let me give you mine real quick. Mm-hmm. Clemson over Texas.
Really? You think so?
Maybe.
They're playing in Texas.
And
too.
Everybody says, Colton, that Dabo is living in the past, just like a Nick Saban or all these other old school guys that ain't trying to get behind the NIL.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how crappy their season started? They lost their season opener, and nobody believed in them. And they rallied, and they got to the ACC championship. They were blowing SMU out of the water, and SMU rallied, turned it into a game.
Yeah.
Worst possible thing that could have happened for Bama.
Mm-hmm.
But I would not be a least bit surprised if Dabo was able to beat Sarkisian. Although they play in Texas.
Yeah.
Well, do you have a good – would you like to share an upset that you think?
The one I'm looking at is Indiana and Notre Dame. I think Indiana has a good opportunity, I think, to beat Notre Dame. I think that's the one that I think could go sideways. Indiana's going to Notre Dame. It'll be, you know, two teams in the same state. You've got Indiana team that I think is
overrated.
Overrated, but I don't think they're as overrated as Notre Dame, though.
And God, two teams that are complete garbage. I hate both of them equally. You hear me, Indiana, Notre Dame? I hate you. You suck.
And I think it'll be an ugly game, and I think Indiana can find a way to squeeze through there.
Oh, and God forbid, I love the next road test for you because you're going to get your eyes beat out.
Because they play, who's that, the winner of that game?
I think all roads lead to Georgia, don't they?
At some point, I think, yeah, Georgia, you'll have to go through Georgia to get in the game. I think that another one I look at, Boise State in the second round, so they got the first round bye. They'll play the winner of Penn State and SMU. Well, that game will be in that.
Penn State's going to beat Boise State's eyes out. Or Penn State's going to beat
SMU.
SMU's eyes out. That'll be no contest. That'll be the equivalent of Georgia playing TCU. And I'm so sick of people saying this. And we got to let these other schools, these other conferences play. Why? So we can see them get their eyes beat out?
Yeah, it could that one could get ugly.
What they have effectively done, Colton, is they have completely thrown out strength of schedule, and I think that's why so many SEC fans, and not only Alabama fans, South Carolina, Ole Miss, and even Big Ten fans, ACC fans, possibly. You're throwing out the idea of, why don't I cupcake my schedule all season? If you want me to just be a one-loss, two-loss team to get in, we can do that.
Yeah, arguably.
We can facilitate that.
You could even say it would have worked out much better for Clemson to have scheduled, you know, instead of scheduling Georgia week one, they should have scheduled UT Chattanooga or somebody like that, you know. But that's why there's got to be some difference to the framework of this, because you need to encourage, there needs to be an incentive for not only scheduling tough conference games, but tough non-conference games too. I want to see, you know,
we got Wisconsin. Did you see that?
Yeah. And
Alabama has a very tough schedule in the upcoming season. A lot of them are away. We do get LSU at home. That's right. Always huge.
Georgia
we'll
home.
Have Auburn away. We'll have Georgia away.
Yeah. The Tennessee back at home.
Tennessee back at home. And God, I'm going to be there for the Orange Crush.
Well, and going to South Carolina won't be
never a cakewalk.
Walk in the park either, by any stretch.
Enough college talk for y'all. How do you feel about the college talk?
Something else, man.
Who do you project to be the national champion? Or finish your thought.
I think that I think Georgia.
I have Georgia. There's never been any doubt.
I think it'll be Georgia again. You could change this thing and change the format and this, that, and the other. But I think it'll still be, you know.
I think Nick Saban said it.
Arguably, Georgia-Texas round three. I could see that happening, arguably, in the national championship game.
I think Texas gets put out by like a Clemson.
Maybe so.
Honestly. I do think Georgia will win it all. And I'll say a go Bulldogs. If you're going to beat those Bulldogs, you'll have to feel it bite. And I don't think anybody can do that.
Yeah.
But that's college football. Where do we go from here? I hope we wrap up and begin to figure out some kind of a synergy with NILs and transfer portals. We have to fix this.
Yeah.
It's a bleeding system.
I think there's two things that need to happen. Big things didn't happen. A lot of things didn't happen. One thing is there has to be a penalty for transferring, like there used to be.
Mm-hmm.
if you transfer, you need to sit out a year. And the thing is, if that would change everything immediately, because
I would almost treat it like a red shirt, Colton. Yeah. As long as you hit the portal, with a red shirt, is it 4 weeks in?
Yeah, you can play in up to 4 games.
But maybe. I do not like you finishing the season with your team, declaring the transfer portal, and dipping out on your team.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a problem, because there's players whose teams are in the playoff right now that are in the portal. They just got in the portal.
Alabama's a huge one. We've lost a lot.
You know, SMU's got a player and they're in the college football playoff right now. He's in the transfer portal. Yeah. So you need to have – there needs to be a punishment for, you have to sit out a year. Also, the NIL, I mean, how hard would it be to make these guys sign real contracts? And what I mean is – We agree to pay you this much money out of high school.
How hard would it be for you and I to start a consulting firm and start getting in on this bread? Okay,
I don't think it would be very hard. I mean, a lot of the agents that these guys are represented by,
they're not
real agents.
No, they're clowns.
They don't have a certification or anything. They're just guys who are
calling, making phone calls.
Yeah, pretty much. It's
thank you.
Yeah. Somebody's uncle just, taking advantage of a situation. They need contracts. They need, which the thing about the contracts, though, is this, is if you sign a player out of high school and you say, okay, you're going to, and basically it's a year-to-year thing, like, hey, we're going to pay you this much, to come play here, but you have to stay here for a certain amount of period of time. But then you're paying a guy, you agree to pay him, and then you get through spring training and you get through fall camp and you realize he's not the best player at his position, but I've agreed to pay him this much money. And there's another guy who's making less money, though, but he deserves to be starting. I've agreed to pay this guy this much money, and these boosters have got their money tied to this player. So you start the other guy, okay, now I'm paying X million dollars for a backup. Or $100,000 for a backup.
Arch Manning.
That's why there's a reason that
it's, you'll put a person on retainer. You'll pay them millions of dollars just so you don't have to see them play somewhere else.
There's a reason that Quinn Ewers' decision to stay or leave isn't as simple as it looks, because if you they've made the decision whether he comes back or not, he's not going to be the starting quarterback next year. It's going to be Arch Manning.
No, he's not.
Because about time to start playing them, because you're paying because as much money
when
you're paying
them.
When
it comes to Georgia, a lot of people don't like that Carson Beck anymore.
Oh, no.
And they don't like hearing about him riding around Athens, Georgia in his Lamborghini, okay? They don't like that.
Because why would they when,
your team kind of sucks?
He kind of isn't, and it's even though we just picked Georgia to win the whole thing, I think they can do it with their backup.
Stockton.
I think they could absolutely do it with him.
He had a Tua moment, didn't he, against Texas? Didn't he there?
Kind of a little bit. He got rocked there late at the end, and
kind of rallied.
The way he got back up, the team was fired up, and that's the kind of thing that'll charge a football team.
Poor Salk, nice at that table. Predict Georgia Bulldogs national champions. There's not even a close second. I think I wouldn't even choose Texas. I don't know. Like if I had to be like any other thing, it'd probably be like Penn State. Like just if weird crap happened. I wanted to wrap up with this idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in prospect of buying my first business. It's in Alabama. It's a liquor store.
Mm-hmm.
Legally, can't be open on Sunday. So. With that space, I'm not only buying a business, a building, I'm buying an acre of land. I can expand on that land. It's right in the middle of a very small town that is on a very heavily traveled road, Highway 82. Some would say interstate. But if I get all that, I think this could change a whole lot for us. I'm going to change the entire way that I do porch talk. It'll probably change the way that I do my porch fest.
Yeah.
And I'll be able to bring in, because we want to build sets and do real high quality video and audio recording for bands passing through, possibly local. And we're going to be doing and facilitating a whole lot of cool things at the property as time goes. And I'm fired up about the idea. I'm approved. I waited this whole past week to hear back from the bank. They were wanting to send an appraiser out to the property.
Yeah.
And I never heard anything back. It being the holiday season, I doubt that I'll be the owner until like mid-January. But
yeah.
I'm going to have my own place. And if you like Monson and Brothers and like what we do there, we're going to have a little bit of a different twang to it, just across that state line in reform. And so I hope that you'll come out and support me. It's a liquor store. Buy all your liquor from me. And the sky is the limit. I have a whole acre of property there. I'll probably be building new buildings. I have a whole $25,000 beer cooler. We'll stock that full of shit, probably beer.
Yes.
And we're going to have a damn good time, but I want to build this set because there's a space inside the building. Like, if you open the door, if you look to your left, we could build like a Western as fuck kind of set.
Yeah.
And I would love to bring in some of my music people in there to record. We'll have the cameras and the audio. We'll do everything real big.
Yeah.
But on top of that is, like, we might even be able to build, like, a Johnny Carson at night to where, like, I don't really like the Stephen Colbert's or Jimmy Fallon's of today. But to build, like, a true, like, Tonight Show kind of feel.
Yeah.
We might could build something like that out.
Yeah.
But I would probably lean more toward, like, an NPR Tiny Desk or Western as Fuck kind of vibe.
Yes, 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 yes.
And we bring our people in. They get a Porch Talk interview. Maybe they get a Night of the Dad Table interview,
yeah.
And this is the cross-pollination. That's why I wanted you here today, is I want you right there with me as we're stepping in stride, and we're trying to bring more awareness to our area and what we have. I think we got the best people in the business, and I just think we need more people to know about it.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a great idea, like a little spot kind of where someone can do a promotional video or something. Mm-hmm. They can, you know, make some content out of it and, you know, have a good sound space, and, you know, that would be really sick.
That's where we're at.
Sweet.
Well, guys, we have had Colton Montgomery from Knights of the Dad Table. You may recognize him if you follow those Caledonia Confederates. Is that what they're called? Are they still Confederates?
Well, we were.
Are they rebels now?
We are the Cavaliers now. We were the Cavaliers? Confederates up until right after I graduated, actually. But it's the Cavaliers. So, you know, still kind of similar. Not really, but, you know, a little bit.
But you won't be hearing the last of them, and we'll have more of those Knights of the Dad Table. And I love the double economy to it, is not only are they Knights, but it could be the Knights that they were having. So thank you,
yes, sir,
Colton, and thank you, Mo, and thank you, everybody at home, for listening. We're out of here. It's been another episode of Porch Talk. And here's some Taylor Hollinsworth, okay?
Some more, but there's no
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Steven is an owner-operator truck driver.
Hiya, folks.
Steven traded up to Geico for serious commercial insurance for both his truck and cargo, all for a seriously great rate.
Ooh, I got one.
Got one what?
A good pun.
This isn't one of those ads.
There's something wrong with that forklift, but it's a giant fork you can't lift, right?
We take commercial insurance very seriously here, Steven.
I'm only semi-serious, huh? You get it?
I see what you did there. Get more with Geico Commercial Insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial.